I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
This podcast is a Roifield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Yeah, I know.
Hello and welcome to another Mid-Atlantic. Now, before I start the show, I'd just like to remind you that Mid-Atlantic is part of the Agora Podcast Network. Now, if you don't know, Agora is a network of like-minded, independently owned podcasts. Each month, we focus on and promote a specific podcast. And this month, it's Heather Tysco's The Renaissance History of England. So go over to Agora Podcast Network to check out that or any of its other shows. Or indeed, you can go to a podcatcher of your choice.
Ladies and gentlemen, please remain standing for the singing of our national anthem.
He said Britain is just a small island that no one pays attention to.
A former colony won the right to determine its own destiny.
Hello and welcome to a Mid-Atlantic and Round Talk special mashup. Today we pivot from the US and we look at the left of UK politics with commentator and pundit Sunny Hundell, who is best known as the founder and editor of the centre-left group Liberal Conspiracy. He is a ferocious tweeter, and Mr. Hundell has also written for publications including The Guardian, The Financial Times and The Independent. I'm your host, Royfield Brown, in San Francisco, in a week that has seen Hillary Clinton be selected as a nominee of the Democratic Party for President of the United States. In Britain, Owen Smith has formally laid out his platform to become the next leader of the Labour Party. Simply, Sonny, why is the Labour Party in such a mess right now, and how did we get here?
Well, that's a big question, Royfield. Thanks for having me on.
That's okay, all right.
So let's try and break this down. I mean, there are different things happening across the world. One is that social democratic parties, left-center parties, generally are in trouble because they're finding it difficult to respond to changing world events. You know, globalization has left a lot of people feeling angry and disenfranchised, and as a result, the left-wing parties that they've looked towards traditionally don't really seem to have much of an answer.
So I'm happy to tell you that at the Democratic Platform Committee, there was a significant coming together between the two campaigns, and we produced by far the most progressive platform in the history of the Democratic Party. Among many, many other strong provisions, the Democratic Party now calls for breaking up the major financial institutions on Wall Street.
So that's the broader context to, you know, what Labour is feeling. At the same time, what we've seen is, you know, anger from losing the last general election translating to people saying, well, we want someone who's more left-wing, who reflects more left-wing traditional Labour values. The idealism of that has taken over in the sense that you've got about 100,000 young, idealistic voters who have said, you know what, I want to play a role in this and I want the Labour Party to reflect my values. and they've taken over. And frankly, I mean, I think while that's good in one sense, you know, they want to get involved in politics. They want to politics to be more idealistic and not go in a cynical way. I also think they are vastly out of touch with the broader public, and I suspect that the fights right now is similar to the fights that Labour went through in the 80s when they had to try and sort of get more left-wing voices within the party to pipe down and take it in a more centrist direction. And I think that's going to happen eventually, but maybe not. We're going to have a lot of fighting in the meantime.
The failure of leadership was for the people around Corbyn, because from the very beginning there were so many media leaks and little bits of things about him not being suitable. But in fact, how can you say he's not suitable? His vision is excellent, and so many others followed him.
Just because a small minority of the party, which is a majority of a faction of the party, which are the MPs, are against him, does not mean he should go.
So is Owen Smith the man to take Labour into an apparently more centrist position?
I can't say if he is, but I would say that voting for Owen Smith would at least stop the disintegration and the collapse of the Labour Party, because he's the only other candidate running. So the problem for the Labour Party is that if Jeremy Corbyn carries on, then I think that you're looking either at disintegration and further collapse, or you're looking at a splitting of the Labour Party, because a lot of the other MPs would at some point say, you know what, we there is no way of salvaging this situation. The only thing we can do now is leave. So to my mind, even if Owen Smith is not a great leader, it would be far easier to replace him in a subsequent leadership election. So let's say, for example, he's
a leader for a year. Okay, yeah, go on.
You know, and you know what I'm saying? So he's leader for a year and he does not perform that well. He does not do great. He does not manage to win over a lot of people. At that point, it would be easier for Labour MPs to say, you know what, we need a fresh face. And that's when you have a real election for the leadership, and then you have a real election for who's going to lead the party at a general election. So, right now the problem is that, of course, because Jeremy Corbyn is trying to hold on to his position and he's got so many members who support him.
What we've seen in the last few days is a small number of MPs seeking to undermine the democratic decisions of the Labour Party members and the Labour and Trade Union movement.
Right now, where are the heartlands of the Labour Party in the UK? And I think maybe if you can answer that question, maybe that goes to the heart of the problem.
Yeah, well, it kind of depends how you define it. But the current heartlands of the Labour Party are metropolitan areas across the country. You've got Liverpool, Birmingham, Manchester, especially London. You know, it's become a very metropolitan-dominated party. Now, some will argue that that's not enough. And I agree with that, because the metropolitan areas in the UK, unlike the United States, are not big enough for them to carry the Labour Party to victory. If we had the kind of demographics that we do in the United States, then the Labour Party would be in a much better position, but it's not. So you have to get the traditional, more rural, working class, socially conservative voters, Labour voters, who traditionally voted Labour, to come on board as well. And that's where the problem lies, because someone needs to weave together these metropolitan liberal voters with socially conservative rural voters, right? And I don't think, well, Jeremy Corbyn has failed in that, but I'm not sure who can. But basically, the only path to electoral victory is to weave together those two. Or someone says, you know what, forget that. It's not even going to happen. And those two constituencies are impossible to weave together. The only thing we can do is now weave together more centrist fiscally irresponsible voters along with the metropolitan voters, right? So you could say, okay, well, we're not going to go down the socially conservative traditional Labour voters route. We are going to get the people who are socially liberal but want a much more fiscally conservative Labour Party who will not raise taxes on them. And that makes Labour a much more centrist party, but still socially liberal. I mean, you know, some people will argue that's a very old way of looking at things. But to my mind, you've got to bring together various constituencies. And the only constituency Labour Party has right now is the metropolitan, fairly liberal constituency. And that's not enough
you
to win elections.
You and I, basically, and our pals around the dinner table.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So in one of these scenarios, the Labour Party is going to give up socially conservative working class voters in maybe small mill towns, etc. That means they're going to cleave off to UKIP.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
I mean, that would, exactly.
Which is kind of what happened in the EU referendum.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, those people are still voting Labour because they still think that the party did not represent them at that election. But it's not a Scotland-style situation yet, whereby in Scotland, you know, people wanted independence, and then those people then went on to join the SNP and be part of that movement. We're not at that stage yet for the Labour Party. But if UKIP had a very strong leader, and or Theresa May was able to make that pitch to them in a very sort of, you know, take back control sort of way, then she could get those voters. But right now, that vacuum is still there. And the Labour Party could win those people back. But the question is, can it and does it want to?
And I think the general election last year showed those that chose to look at it, and the results tonight already are showing me, that the growth in the UKIP vote from our base is coming more from Labour than it is from anybody else. And I feel that there are many that will look at Jeremy Corbyn, will look at the Labour Party, think it's become very extreme, see it as not being particularly patriotic and not really standing up for them.
For me, the answer is relatively simple. The Labour Party needs to have an economic policy which is very clearly about the Midlands and the north of England, where they say we're going to build not one or two houses on the fringe. We are going to massively invest in public infrastructure and housing. And I'm saying housing without saying public housing or private housing, just housing.
Yeah,
actually to stimulate those economies, because surely the message of anti-globalization is that jobs and attention have been shifted elsewhere for whatever reason, you know, the reasons of global economics, etc. But still, if you're going to build a whole load of houses and tarmac a whole load of roads, that needs to be done locally in terms of the workforce. So in a way, and I don't want to give George Osborne too much credit here, but his vision of a northern kind of powerhouse kind of is right, but we need to amp that up significantly, and that would go some way in addressing the concerns of more socially conservative traditional Labour supporters, that they haven't been forgotten in this rush for to venerate the City of London and the South and economic and financial tools. Surely that is the pitch that a next Labour leader needs to make. But Owen Smith did his kind of campaign rollout today. What did you think of that?
Theresa May even had the temerity, I don't know if you saw it, at PMQ's 10 days ago, a week ago, today in fact, to lecturing Labour on social injustice, on insecurity at work. And I'll be honest with you, it pained me that we didn't have the strength and the power and the vitality to smash her back on her heels and argue that these are our values, these are our people, this is our language that they are seeking to steal. And I'll be honest with you, it pained me that we didn't have the strength and the power and the vitality to smash her back on her heels, smash her back on her heels.
I think it went pretty well. I mean, there was a a gaffe, but we'll put that aside, a bit of a sideshow. But look, he made the big pitch the other day, actually. He said when he first launched, he said, we're going to spend $200 billion on investment. And I think you are right in saying that Labour Party now needs to move beyond austerity and think about how to have a massive building program. And to a certain extent, the politics is difficult with that, because the politics is that people already think that Labour Party spends too much and is going to raise their taxes. And the last Labour Party partly lost on that ground. Now, in this case, you will need someone who is willing to convince people that he's not going to raise their taxes, but still borrow a lot of money and spend it. And partly because the Conservative Party have also abandoned George Osborne's targets, it makes it easier for Labour to say, well, we're doing similar to what the Tories are doing, but much better. So that there is a possibility, but you have to sell it in a very strong way to the North, because to a certain extent, I think they're sick of promises. And you're going to need someone who can connect to people in the North and say, I care about you, and I am going to spend this money, and we need to turn around, almost like a new deal for the North of England, the Northern powerhouse, you know, but like a new deal. So to that extent, you know, I think that what Owen Smith promised today was interesting. A lot of it was reheated Ed Miliband-ism, you know, and to a large extent, Ed Miliband's program kind of got defeated at the general election. And a lot of people will argue, well, is this reheated Ed Miliband-ism or sort of Ed Miliband-ism on steroids going to really work for us? And it may not work, to be honest. That's the problem. The voters want one thing more than anything from their leaders. They want competence to run an economy. And right now, the biggest problem the Labour Party has is that it does not have a leader or no one in the waiting in the shadows who can demonstrate competence. Possibly the only person I can think of who projects that is Keir Starmer. And he may run soon enough, so things may turn around. But that's the issue. That's the situation. So it doesn't matter, really, if Owen Smith can convince people or not, or at least convince the Labour Party. Like I said, if he doesn't do a good job, in a year or two time, they'll get rid of him. And that's fine with me, to be honest. The party needs someone who can win an election. But first,
he needs to be elected. And here's another question. From somebody who floats around in left-wing politics, why couldn't Andrew Eagle have made that, got that platform? And what does it say about the Labour Party that it seems to be able to struggle to elect a woman to lead it, or at least to be in contention to lead it?
Well, I mean, I think it's less to do with her being a woman and more to do with the fact that a lot of Labour MPs felt that her vote for Iraq and other policies of the past were going to make it difficult for her to defeat Jeremy Corbyn. And they kind of needed one who was going to be soft left, who was going to win over the soft left convincingly and beat Jeremy Corbyn. And Owen Smith seemed to be the only choice, or at least, you know, I would have preferred someone like Lisa Nandy, to be honest. I think Lisa Nandy could have won, but she didn't choose to run. So, you know, it could have been other people. It could have been a woman. But, you know, and to be honest, I don't think Angela Eagle is a Blairite. And I don't think that the stuff that people were throwing at her was right. But that's what the PLP felt, that, you know, Owen Smith had a better chance of beating Jeremy Corbyn than she did, and there could only be one.
Well, the first thing I'd like to do is thank my own supporters for the faith that they showed in me in this leadership election. We finished the first day of nominations. Owen Smith has a lead, and I think that it's in the best interest of the Labour Party that we now come together so that we can have one candidate. So I'm announcing tonight that I'm withdrawing from this race and supporting Owen. I'd like to congratulate Owen on coming top in this race and then going on, I think, to take on Jeremy Corbyn. We have a Labour Party at the moment that is not working. We've got a leader that doesn't have the confidence of his members of parliament.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
And isn't reaching out to the country.
Let's look at a possible scenario. Some people might say highly likely. Jeremy Corbyn goes on to win this election.
Okay.
What happens in the Parliamentary Labour Party then?
Well, that's a good question. So what will happen is that they will carry on limping on as before, because I don't think
Do you really think that the Parliamentary Labour Party wouldn't then effectively split at that point?
Well, I think the only time it does split definitively is when the leadership of the Labour Party says we are now going for deselection of people, or putting everyone up for deselection. You know, something that Corbyn has floated and with the boundary review, but may not come to pass. That's the point where they say, okay, you know what, it's time to leave because this is getting ridiculous. Until then, they don't have to split. And I don't think it would be wise for them to split, because the Labour Party is too important a vehicle and has got loads of history behind it. And it wouldn't work for them to split. So it will carry on limping. You know, you will have Corbyn still struggling to fill posts. You will still have Corbyn having hostile reception from most of the PLP. That will carry on, and it will carry on until another leadership election is launched, and it will carry on until, you know, he's gotten rid of, because his supporters have accepted that he is not a great leader. You know, so basically that's it. My view is that it will carry on limping until next leadership election. The only time it splits is when you get the threat for deselection. That's my view.
Is part of the issue, let's not talk about the actual process that the Labour Party has chosen to select its leaders, which is in part massively the reason why we have this kind of impasse where the membership is more radical than the sitting MPs. But yeah, in part, isn't one of the issues that Labour Party elections go on so long, are actually so divisive? Whereas the Tories, they seem to be able to get this over and done with rather quickly. And also, they're quite smart in that it's a controlled democracy. So the Parliamentary Conservative Party gives you two people to nominate. That it's not everybody that wants to stand that gets over over 25 votes or whatever Corbyn got last time of the parliamentary party. So the Mandarins still have quite a lot of control, don't they? Because if Corbyn had gone up against only one other member last time, he probably wouldn't have won, or at least it would have been extremely close. And the party wouldn't seem so riven. So isn't this really, this mess, really the making of how the Labour Party's constitution is to do with how it elects its leaders?
I mean, possibly. People could argue that the Conservative Party system allows less diversity of opinion and less choice when it comes to taking those ideas and taking those debates to the wider membership. You've only got two people arguing and the rest are, you know, basically selected by the MPs. So, I mean, I don't think the Labour Party system is that bad. It was just that, you know, no one expected that having given Corbyn a voice in the debates, that he would be able to rally so many people to his campaign and then eventually win it. I mean, I find this odd for people to claim that, you know, people should rally around Corbyn because for a start, he's not built up that much support within the Labour Party over the years. He's always been a rebel. He's always voted against the Labour Party. And on top of that, he didn't get the support of most of the Labour Party when it came to his selection. And now suddenly people are saying, well, they should drop all their principles and the fact that they oppose his views on so many things and just swear blind loyalty to him. I mean, it's kind of a contradiction because they would never say that for Corbyn, to swear blind loyalty to someone like, for example, Tony Blair in the past. But put that aside, I don't think the selection process of the Labour Party is bad. It's just that you get a situation like this. And frankly, the Tories could have had a long, drawn-out selection process. I mean, their process was carrying on until September, actually. It was just the fact that Andrea Leadsom had so much pressure on her to drop because she was clearly such a terrible candidate that it kind of went to Theresa May quickly. If it was someone like, if Boris Johnson had stayed in, I think he could have won it.
This is our chance to think globally again, to lift our eyes to the horizon, to bring our unique British voice and values, powerful, humane, progressive, to the great global forums without being elbowed aside by a supranational body. And instead of being afflicted by nerves, let us seize this chance and make this our moment to stand tall in the world. That is the agenda for the next Prime Minister of this country. But I must tell you, my friends, you who have waited faithfully for the punchline of this speech, that having consulted colleagues and in view of the circumstances in Parliament, I have concluded that person cannot be me.
Then he would have toured around the country and they would have had a vicious contest between Theresa May and Boris Johnson, which would have been fun to watch.
But doesn't that really show you one of the key differences between the two parties, in that there is much more pragmatic party discipline on the side of the Tories? So Boris Johnson thought that he'd taken a little bit of a blindside from Gove, so he stepped aside. You had Leadsom, who kind of came from nowhere, who was clearly out of her depth. And she listened to enough colleagues to realise that she was, and she was going to get savaged in the media by every ridiculous utterance she'd actually said. And she put party loyalty before personal ambition. Whereas I vacillate somewhere between thinking Jeremy Corbyn, great man of principle, you've been saying the same things for the last 30 years. I vacillate between that position and the other one, which is you're a bloody minded prig and you're going to break the party. Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, absolutely. And what you don't have is that same loyalty to the party as opposed to a faction of the party on the Labour Party. And that's the reason why the Tories, you know, their elections can be done and dusted extremely quickly. But I also think, as I said before, it's very clever the way that ultimately the parliamentary party selects the two people, and it's only two, who are going to go and face the general membership. So you can't have necessarily an outlier candidate who could only ever get, in a way that the Republicans had with their primary process this year, you have a candidate like a Donald Trump who's only ever going to get, let's say, 35% of the vote. And it's kind of rock solid within itself. But because the field is so divided, ditto Corbyn and the election in the Labour Party last year, that 35% at 32% of the vote can actually win out.
Yeah, I mean, that said, the time before that, Ed Miliband narrowly beats David Miliband through the support of the membership. You know, so you could argue that that was a good debate. And that was something that the Labour Party needed to go through. I mean, look, it's not the selection process that matters. I think the earlier point that you made matters more. It's the fact that the Labour Party, I think, or at least the Labour membership, is no longer interested in the idea of pragmatism, is no longer interested in the idea of having someone who's competent. And I suspect that's partly because, you know, they've lost elections. And after a while, you lose elections, people start thinking, well, we're going to lose the next election anyway. We may as well have someone who reflects my views and I can feel proud of than someone who is going to not reflect my view and is going to end up losing anyway. And I think that's the wrong way of looking at things, because the point of the Labour Party is to win elections. Otherwise, it withers and dies away. But yeah, the Labour Party has a huge problem in making the case for pragmatism, making the case for competence. And it frustrates the hell out of me because, frankly, this is what the Tories say. The Tories always say we need someone who's competent. And that focus on competence is directly correlated with what the with what voters want. Voters will forgive you to do anything, providing they think you're competent. I mean, look at Angela Merkel, for example, has let in a million refugees, something that no one could do in any other country in Europe, except that she's seen as the competent person to lead the country. And she's now back up to 60% in the polls. Like, it's competence that matters more than anything else, and that allows, gives you leeway to do other stuff. And I don't think the Labour membership seem to understand this point.
I think we're definitely in agreement here. I think one of the issues with many people on the left historically has been that they've seen the Labour movement as being a campaigning movement as opposed to a movement of government, you know, and people are very happy to be in permanent opposition and have the ideological purity of being, of their hands not being sullied actually with actually having to make decisions. So Mr. Hunter, we agree. We absolutely do agree.
Excellent. That's what I like.
Right here and now, I'm putting it down that you're definitely on the Owen Smith bandwagon.
I mean, you know, look, I'm going to say that he may not be the right person to lead the Labour Party, but frankly, he's the only person who can save the Labour Party right now from the clutches of Jeremy Corbyn, because Corbyn will almost certainly lead it to either more disintegration or a split. And I don't want either of those. If, on the other hand, if Owen Smith doesn't perform very well, fine, you can have another Labour leadership and he can be gotten rid of and someone else better can come.
So what, is this going to become an annual occurrence until the next election?
Possibly. I mean, Jeremy Corbyn and John McDonnell seem to be in favour of that not long ago. So, I mean, to be honest, the Labour Party, you know, like I said earlier, we still haven't figured out what different constituencies of people we are going to stitch together into a winning election, electoral vehicle, basically, in the same way, in the way that Democrats have. The Democrats have it nailed down now, you know, thanks to Obama. He has brought the Democratic Party together. He's given them a blueprint to win elections over and over again. And now Hillary Clinton and whoever is next is going to follow that blueprint. And the problem for the Labour Party is we don't have a leader yet who's managed to figure out what is the way forward and demonstrate that it is possible to stitch together that election-winning coalition. And until we find that person, we're going to probably limp on. and we'll have to wait until that person presents themselves.
Sonny Hundal, thank you for shining a light on the forthcoming Labour leadership election. But just before you go, if anybody wants to catch up with you on social media, how can they do that?
Just on Twitter, Sonny, S-U-N-N-Y underscore Hundal, H-U-N-D-A-L. That is, that's primarily where I let my opinions know.
Great. And are you working on anything in particular at the moment?
Lots, actually. Well, I'm running, I'm editor of Political Scrapbook right now, so that's a really great left-wing, I mean, it's been around for as long as Liberal Conspiracy, actually, but carries on. So I'm currently editor of Political Scrapbook, and I've got one or two big announcements to make next week as well, which are happening, so can't say anything yet, sadly.
That sounds exciting.
It is exciting, but I've got to do some work on it first, and I can't announce it until they announce it first, I think, so we'll have to see.
Fab. Okay. If you want to catch with me on social media, I'm simply Royfield, spelled R-O-I-F-I-E-L-D, and apart from editing podcasts, literally one a day, that's about the only thing I'm doing at the moment. But Sonny Hundal, thank you, and no doubt, because we seem to do these shows once a year whenever there's a Labour leadership election, so I'll see you in 2017.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me on.
No worries, mate. Brilliant.
Good to speak to you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Take care.
Bye-bye.